What are we calling? Is this a podcast?
Red. It's awesome. Clash.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Reddit Talks Clash, hosted by the moderators of r/Clash of Clans. My name is Sam, and I'm here with Liam, Rick, and Spencer. And we've got a good update episode for you guys today. The sneak peeks for the spring updates have all finished releasing over this weekend. We've got a new pet, we've got new levels, we've got balance changes, changes to ore, bug fixes, woohoo! We've got everything, and we're going to be going through it all in the next hour. So it's going to be a good one. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about, even if it might not be the biggest update on paper. I think we'll have enough to say. And I guess we'll start with the big thing that got announced today, which was the jellyfish pets coming out for Town Hall 16. So for anyone who hasn't quite caught up, this pet is going to be, as I said, released at Town Hall 16, and is going to allow your hero to only target defenses for a limited amount of time. So if you put it on the queen, only target defenses. Put it on the king, he'll just gun straight for that arch tower. Royal champion, okay, maybe a bit useless there. But yeah, it seems like a cool pet. Rick, do you have any immediate thoughts on it?
This is my favorite pet. Like, this is my new favorite thing in the whole game. And I am more excited to play Clash after this update drops than I have been in a while. Not that I've been, like, I know sometimes I get pretty negative, especially here. But, man, I'm so pumped up to have access to the jellyfish out in the wild.
Okay, you guys got to stop calling it a jellyfish because it's just a jelly. I mean, if you look close to it, to the image, it's got, like, if anything, it's more close to an octopus. It's got, like, tentacles and stuff.
Well, obviously, jelly is short for jellyfish.
Nah, I've never seen a jellyfish that looks like that. I don't know about you.
What?
I
mean, you haven't seen a jellyfish with tentacles? Actually, no, it looks more like a squid, doesn't it, now you say?
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
if you literally
enough.
Just put...
I feel like it's just
a... type jellyfish into... Watch. You type jellyfish into the Discord... gifts and like half of them are red.
I mean, even if you just type jelly,
the very first one
does not look anything like jelly. The pet.
It doesn't look anything like it.
If you look close,
you can't argue with Discord gifts. Okay,
oh, God.
That's definitive.
First of all, it's a GIF.
I called the owl a bat for ages. All right, and this
that's
yeah.
right.
Still do. I'm just adapting to saying owl. Like, I'm not going to learn jelly versus jellyfish, especially when it's meaningless.
Yeah, that's silly. So, do we want to spend the next hour arguing about the name, or...?
Well, yeah. When I was testing this pet out, I didn't use it. I only used it on the Barbarian King, because I really wanted to see how that was. And the only time where it got... useful was when there was an open compartment. I would put the king in and I would actually activate the ability with the giant gauntlet and the rage vial, and it would take out a whole section of the base. But you really need to have an open compartment for that. And then that got me thinking, well, utilizing an open compartment like that with either, you know, the Archer Queen too, I feel like the open compartment meta is gonna disappear completely because of this pet. What do you guys think about that?
Well, yeah, I was thinking base building is going to be an absolute ball ache now, because obviously things like storages and whatnot were always used to bait, say, queen charges out of the base, like you said, open all compartments. And now, I mean, if you can just get a queen to go into the base without really possibly much funneling, it makes base building a lot harder. I guess we could see maybe a move to, say, putting, a mortar on the outside of some bases to draw the queen away, or, I don't know, something like that.
Back to like old school Town Hall 8 base meta.
Yeah.
With the mortars away on the outside for funneling. It's cool in that I think there are uses for it on three heroes, essentially. You know, because obviously you're not going to put it on the RC. But the first pet that has viable uses on all three of those heroes.
I mean, have you guys seen Itsu's latest video about it? Where he was saying that it basically stronger than the Phoenix on the King. So that might be another use case for jumping into the container departments, like Spencer was saying.
Yeah, also, I want to know if Spencer is aware of this thing called a wall breaker.
Spencer doesn't attack. Come on. You can't have these unrealistic expectations of him. How is he supposed to know what troops I'm getting?
Yeah, who uses wall breakers anymore?
Back to the question Liam said about, like, do we think that the open base meta is going to change? Like, I think it already did. Root Riders ignore walls anyway, but when you have too many open walls, anything wrecks, especially with all the new levels of troop. Like, Titan's got a level, Yeti's got a level. We'll talk about those too, but with open walls, those are just going to walk around destroying bases regardless. Like, it'll be nice because you'll be able to get away from Root Riders, but I don't see too many totally open bases already, and there's no reason to change to it now.
Yeah, and it's worth considering, of course, that the jellyfish only works for, say, 30 seconds or something, is it? So it's not like your whole attack is just, say, the queen only targeting defenses.
Are walls even a thing anymore? Like, I haven't ever seen walls, like, stop an attack from being tripled nowadays.
I mean, I think that's just, like, what Rick's saying, the case with the Root Riders. They're just so...
Yeah.
Yeah, they ignore walls. I mean, at this point, they are largely relevant. And you could argue that walls have become less and less relevant in the years gone by. I mean, Super Wall Breakers, Wall Wreckers, Log Launchers. There have been so many things made to just avoid walls, and especially when the air meta was so strong in the last few town halls, that walls haven't been a really important thing at all recently anyways, apart from pathing. I think funneling and pathing for heroes is the only case where they've really actually been a problem.
Yeah, so the jellyfish would then counter that, because they'll make them skip walls.
Yeah, but you got to upgrade them because they look nice.
Like, especially on, like, on a hero dive, you put on the king, that's a lot of bases, at least right now, it's like a straight path to the town hall, as long as you activate the town hall. But if you're using the gauntlet, and basically everyone is, that splash damage is probably going to activate the town hall. Then your king dies, the jelly leaves, and cool, you accomplished what you need to do. And you can move on and go do something else. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to prefer it on the warden for warden walks and fireball, but I know a ton of people didn't bother upgrading the fireball and aren't.
I know. It's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, it's fantastic. I love it. If you aren't the kind of person who invested in the fireball, putting in on your king for hero dives is just as viable, just as fantastic and OP. You got a whole lot of options with this, with the angry jelly.
Yeah, I really regret not upgrading my fireball, because in videos recently and now with this new pet, it just keeps looking... I mean, obviously Supercell knew they were going to add all this stuff, and they're probably sitting there smugly thinking, ah, look at all these idiots not upgrading this equipment. They're all gonna, they're all saying it's useless. Now they're all gonna spend money in a few weeks to upgrade it, so I'm sure they're quite happy.
This is like a version of a pet that we've seen for, I don't know, it's gotta be like a year now, Spence, right? When stuff like this first started popping up in the dev builds?
Over a year, yeah.
It's changed so much, and other stuff has been added, and other stuff's taken away and never showed up too, so I don't know if it's been part of like the grand long-term plan, but it's they've adapted probably a few ideas to fit the current equipment in Hero perfectly. Like, man, I'm so excited for everyone to start using this soon. Warden Walks, dude. So my biggest issue with Warden Walks, like, I've been practicing, I've been playing Warden Walk into Root Riders, Warden Walk into Zap stuff, Warden Walk into Super Witches for a while, just knowing this pet's coming, been practicing. And my biggest problem with Warden Walks in the last month or so has been time fails. And the Angry Jelly completely eliminates that too, because your Warden goes straight into the defenses. You can fireball huge clusters immediately. And then, like, 35 seconds is really not that long, but it's long enough for your Warden Walk to get massive value. And then he turns around and chases down the rest of your pets, and the rest of the attack goes great. It's perfect. People are really sleeping on Fireball.
Do you not end up in an issue occasionally, though, where the Warden is stuck on the defense when you want him following your troops?
So the way the Angry Jelly works is he straight up ignores your troops while the Jelly has him like brainwashed or under control, or however they phrase it. It starts at 25 seconds at level 1 and only goes to 35 seconds. And it's only, like, most of the upgrades are stats on the Angry Jelly itself, which is completely pointless. Because I think just as soon as it leaves your hero, it dies, and it's not any use at all. But 35 seconds is not that long. Like, it's going to take 7 to 10 seconds you know, for major defenses already anyway. You get three of those down, you fireball, and it's easy enough to send Root Rider or a Super Barb or your King or Queen through his enormous aura and then draw him back away. Like, no one starts a Warden Walk and then immediately starts, like, the...
Yeah, sure, but...
You know, like, the troops next to him. Like, it's one of the things that people have only seen the notes and the videos for the last 5 hours, and it seems to be a big concern. Don't worry about it at all. It's not a problem. If you're doing a regular Warden Walk, it's a non-issue. Unless you're starting him on just a crazy side of the base and he gets so insanely deep, then yeah, you might have a problem getting him back to the troops. But like, you're also, you don't need him for an Eternal Tome or Healing Tome because you don't have those, because you're going to be using Fireball and Rage Gem. It's a non-issue. Just like, don't worry about it, or practice a little bit of timing.
I'm not worried. I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm just mad because, like, I've been so excited for the fireball in this pet for so long, and just seeing that hardly anyone else is as excited for that strategy as me this morning has been frustrating. So I'm taking out my anger on you.
The jellyfish was coming when they released the fireball.
No.
Ooh.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't remember the timing. Do you, Spence?
Yes, I'm pretty sure. We knew.
Okay.
Yeah, like, I don't know if we knew the name, but, like...
You've had a month or so to concoct your brilliant strategies for this.
Yeah, like, there's definitely, like, a reason I felt comfortable immediately pouring 480 starry into the fireball day one.
Yeah, see, mine's, I think, level 3, so I don't think we're going to be getting quite as far with that.
I tried to tell you guys, dude, I said repeatedly, I am very... very confident in the long-term viability of the fireball, and this is what I was talking about.
Yeah, but we're not mind readers, are we?
Well, I don't know. I think you should just default to believing me.
Yeah, well...
I'm going to assume that probably everyone has the fireball, or is it, like, are the people like me who just haven't gotten the epic equipment?
Who hasn't gotten epic equipment?
Definitely not me.
Oh, okay.
Did you just skip the fireball entirely?
Yeah, because I prefer the rewards that help me progress faster.
Okay, that Liam is genuinely stupid. I mean, there's one thing about ignoring Rick, which I think we all do regularly, but that is a bit stupid. Unless you're Spencer, then you can just burn 1,500 gems and not really bat an eyelid on it, but...
It'll be back in the shop at some point. And, you know, and like, honestly, by that time, too, you'll have enough info watching how other people use it to decide if it's something you want to invest gems and ore into at that point. So, you know, I don't know if I'd call you stupid like Sam just did, because, you know, he's a weird mean Brit, but I'm gonna love it. Then the only thing we haven't talked about, I guess, with the jelly is the jelly on the queen.
You know, that was my initial thought. As soon as I saw the jellyfish, I was like, oh my gosh, if you could do a queen walk and she just goes in the base and gets all the defenses, especially with the frozen arrow. But anytime I tried it, I feel like my queen just died so fast. So either I was doing something wrong, or it's not as useful as we would think it is.
I actually, obviously, I haven't got the chance to test it, but the queen sometimes takes a weird path, right? And that can happen at the best of times. If she's just going for defenses, I do worry that occasionally she could just step in and be in range of a ton of expos, a scout shot, and bang, before you can even get the ability off, she's dead. And I reckon that could be a potential issue.
Yeah, that's pretty much the issue. Is, like, with a Warden Walk, your Warden has a massive range, so he kind of stays back. And he's still picking apart the same amount of defenses. He's still attacking, like, at a comparable speed. But the Queen has a shorter attack range, so she gets further in quicker and becomes, like, within the range of all these more defenses, because Warden can just straight up outrange things. The Queen can't outrange anything, so she goes in pretty quick. More defenses hit her. Even raid spells have a hard time, you know, keeping her up and keeping her alive. When you're within range of that many defenses, the frozen arrow isn't really helping you out. I'm sure there will be bases that it's suited for, like, but it's gonna be a war thing, not like a legends thing too.
Yeah, I would also worry about any sort of long queen charge as well, because if she gets through a decent amount of base and then after 30 seconds the pet leaves her, there could be a bunch of random crap just littered around, which is going to send her backwards.
Yeah.
You know, the way she came. But...
Exactly. Yeah, so she gets in deep. Even if you get if you get what you wanted out of her, she's going to turn around and start pounding on storages.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, she could backtrack so easily, too. So it's kind of weird. But I do think what I would want to experiment with is, as soon as that jelly, you know, like, detaches and runs off and dies, like, recall the queen and healers. You can probably recall, I would have to check the math, you could probably recall 5 healers on her, because you're not going to be recalling
the
pet.
You wouldn't have the unicorn with you, yeah.
And then you can drop her off, you know, somewhere else, and then you just have a corner of a base where you drop a single wizard on to start cleaning up while you worry about a different part of the attack. So I think there's probably a use case for Queen Charge recall with it. It's something I don't think I'm going to try and get skilled with. Pros, I'm sure, are going to have a field day with it.
But will they? Because as it stands, pros will just keep using Root Riders.
Oh, yeah. I guess, you know, because it's not a quick attack. So if you're trying to do a Queen Charge recall and move your queen, like, you are wasting time when everything is going to come down to just who attacked faster anyway.
And I do think that is a shame, because I think actually recently we've got a ton of cool stuff which could lend to a ton of cool strategies, and we're just not seeing it in action because pros just have to, you know, get a 3-star in like less than a minute 30, and unfortunately cooler strategies that could be available just aren't being used, which is an entirely separate conversation, I know, but it is a bit of a shame.
I mean, won't this? I feel like it'll bring back the times where you can just triple a whole town or 16 with just your heroes and healers.
Like, people were doing that already.
Well, yeah. Like, I mean, isn't this gonna make it overpowered? Like,
yeah. I don't. I think it's been that way though. I don't think this is changing it. All right. Anything else on Fireball? You guys have questions, or anyone else have questions on it?
I think we've milked this jellyfish for all it's worth.
Oh, yeah, I said Fireball just now. I'm so wrapped up in the Fireball. Yeah.
I know,
man.
We've been letting it.
Fireball's going to be so good.
So, obviously, we got the new levels in this sneak peek as well. Were there any new levels that stood out to you that could affect things much, or was it all a bit, eh?
I mean, we got the beefy defenses, the Eagle and the Monolith.
And the Builder Hut. Come on.
I mean, eh.
Such a beefy defense, right?
But
that's what I look out for when I'm scouting a base.
Yeah.
Oh god.
And I was thinking, because the new level for the Monolith, I think it goes up to 13% damage or something. For the extra damage. And then I was thinking, well, I remember the original Monolith got nerfed to 12, so I think this is the original stat when it was released with Town Hall 15, if I remember correctly.
A lot of the new levels we've gotten for Town Hall 16 are just like restoring what they were during the terrible Town Hall 15 meta. So these aren't like massive things. There's not a level of mono no one has had to deal with before, obviously. I don't think it moves the needle on if you were hoping to be able to defend more. Like, this update isn't going to do that for you.
This update is not for you, because ultimately the Monolith is not really a threat to Root Riders, and the Eagle isn't really either.
Hit rates have gone up consistently every month since Town Hall 16 release. I think that's going to continue.
I think it needs to be addressed before Worlds, at least, because it's going to suck if the meta is the same by the time Worlds comes around. I mean, genuinely boring.
Wouldn't that not give them enough time to practice, though? Like,
practice what?
Well, like, they need time to practice with the current meta to get ready for Worlds, no? Like, they wouldn't want to change the meta right before it.
I mean, if it changes for everyone simultaneously, then it's, you know, it's still fair.
It's not like they've never done a summer update before. They always do a summer update.
I mean, yeah, we could expect 2 updates before Worlds, just going off their usual pattern. And since it's the year of the home village, then we could expect a lot more stuff.
When is Worlds this year?
They said the finals will be in November.
November. Right, so yeah, it is conceivable we see an update before then, I guess. But yeah, I think they will have to address the hit rates before Worlds, because otherwise it is going to be the most disappointing competition ever.
They've made a bunch of statements on it that it's something they're aware of and working on, but they obviously want to balance giving people like me who want to just crush bases with Fireball and Angry Jelly and overpower troops to let us continue to have fun and succeed at it. And it's got to be a hard task ahead of them to try and figure out balance for an entertaining esport with, you know, like, people are returning to the game after Town Hall 15 drove them away. So I don't know. This update certainly isn't helping.
Absolutely not.
So, but like, yeah, we didn't get a whole lot of levels for anything. You said you went through all the defenses. Clan Castle got a level too.
Oh, that is the most useless. I mean, I'm going to upgrade it because it looks cool, but like, who needs to bring 5 siege machines when attack? A genuine question.
I mean, I like it. It's not about having more siege machines, just being able to donate more and get more XP. But yeah, I mean, I wish they would have increased the size as well, so like you could bring 55 troops or something, but that's totally...
Do people actually train siege machines to donate? I mean, I think I'm now a bit babied with a 1 gem donation, but...
Yeah, free-to-play players do, especially people with accounts. Yeah,
free-to-play players don't donate siege machines. I don't believe they do.
I am the living proof of that, Sam.
I'm sure there are people out there who will appreciate having a fifth option for a siege machine. That's not most people. I would imagine most people are kind of where I am, which is if I am switching siege machines at all, it's between, you know, 2 is my choice. So now that now I'll be able to bring both of those in my clan castle, I don't have to worry about like the changing the order around in my workshop queue at all. So it's really a quality of life change for me, disguised as a level, is how I've kind of thought about it.
Fair enough. I mean, I guess there weren't many other things they could do without affecting the balance too much, in fairness.
Troop levels, too. We're getting a level of Geti, a level of Ice Golem, and Electro Titan, and Flame Flinger. So, all of those are cool.
I mean, I don't think we needed a level for Flame Flinger.
I think it's just balancing up so that they all match, that have the same levels. Because Siegebergs and Log Launcher are also
most of them, they're all at 5 right now?
Not all of them, but they're moving them up slowly.
I don't entirely object to it, because obviously building hit points have increased since the Flame Flinger came out. So, was it 12, 15, or 16? 14, I actually can't remember now. But either way...
It came out same time as Super Drags.
So that was winter 2022.
Yeah.
It was like right at the end of 14.
And if you think building HP has increased significantly since then, although not significantly, but enough to mean that your Flinger just doesn't destroy as much stuff as it used to. So I think that's a fair enough keeping up with the times kind of update.
Of that, I mean, I'm probably going to hammer Titans done and maybe Ice Golems, just because I will toss an Ice Golem or a Titan into a lot of my comps.
Fair enough.
Like, Root Riders, Valks are kind of the big spam meta now, too. I know when Town Hall 16 first released, I was doing Root Riders and Titans, and that, you know, I'll probably try that out again a little more now that we have Overgrowth with it, and you know, I'll see kind of how that feels. It's an option, but none of this is like game changing. You know, Yetis out of the CC got a little bit stronger. That'll help.
What about Yeti spam though? Is that coming back?
Unlikely.
just to circle back to, I know you were talking about open bases, like during some of the test wars, I was doing. I was just screwing around, just seeing like what can I triple with, but. If you have an open walled base, I was getting triples with Warden Walks and the Warden Walk and the Fireball into Mass Yetis, which shouldn't be a thing at all. But I was still getting triples with it fairly consistently on open bases. You know, I wouldn't worry about jumping Yetis through a base, but if it's open and they have room to walk, the Yetis are no joke.
Yeah, I really like Yetis.
I think we've covered all the new level stuff now. Should we have a look at the kind of quality of life features that got announced yesterday? I think the clan chat improvements would be a good place to start. So obviously we got clan chat updates, last updates, but there's more coming now. We can now tag and harass people in chat. Are we glad to see this feature? come in, and I think it's been requested for a while, to be fair.
Yeah, I think it's a great feature. One thing I completely don't know about it is if I tag someone, what like the push notification is going to look like on their phone. Is it going to be like, oh, you've been tagged in the clan chat, or is it going to say something, or is it just like going to show the message from the clan chat?
I'd be surprised if it showed the message. I'm going to put my bet out there. I don't think it will show the message.
Yeah, me neither. That'd be too complex.
Yeah, like, because when you get clan mail, it just says you have a clan mail. I'm assuming it's going to be something similar to that.
I mean, the thing I'm wondering about is, like, they set in, like, you can't use the tags in the first 30 minutes of joining a clan. But is 30 minutes really, like, does that even make a difference? Like, won't people just wait the 30 minutes?
Well, it depends how much of a dedicated troll you are. And honestly,
time to troll Liam's clans.
If your clan's unopened, you can't deserve anything that's coming to you anyway, so I think it's not a big concern.
No, there's lots of like people who need to travel back and forth for like Capital Gold and stuff. Like,
this is a very niche. There are not a lot of people that need to do that. There are a very small minority of people who need to do that.
Surely we're not the only ones who do that, right?
If you leave your front door unlocked, dude, I don't want to hear you complain about what riffraff walk in.
Hey, man.
I mean, it was fine now, but I guess we'll get worse now, I suppose.
And if that's a big concern for you, then you can just turn off the clan chat tagging.
No, but that's like, you know, like, oh yeah, let's just give everyone guns, you know, and have them enter your front door. Like, that's a great idea.
You know, 30 minutes, it probably will prevent, like, bots from coming in and just spamming everyone with some kind of ad. But, like, also, like, just making it an elder thing would probably work. At least being able to tag like the whole clan, tagging individuals. I mean, I think a 30-minute thing would be fine, or a rank. But yeah, it should be. Not everyone should be able to spam at everyone all the time.
Can regular members use the at clan tag?
Yeah, I believe so. Yes.
Oh, that is terrible.
Actually, it does. Like, the one comfort I do have is that Fairy did say that they were going to keep an eye on it and make sure that it doesn't get, like, if it gets abused too much, maybe they'll make it an elder thing only on the most recent episode of Pineapple and Thorns, by the way.
Everyone's just going to go mute their notifications immediately, and then the whole feature's pointless anyway.
Exactly. Yep. Speaking of Discord, actually, do you guys think this is kind of replace Discord communication? Because that was one of the big points that you're not able to tag, but now, like,
absolutely no way will it replace Discord. I mean, at the best of times, still, chatting in clan chat is clunky. I don't really enjoy doing it, to be honest. On Discord, everything is so much more organized. You can have all the different channels, all the different roles set up. I mean, it's a nice feature, and especially a feature for clans that maybe aren't quite as structured with the whole Discord server. But no, I can't see it replacing any well-made clan Discord server.
I don't think it's going to replace Discord because, like, messages still disappear, and that's kind of a big, like, I don't want to miss out on messages, so.
And you can't send pictures, you can't easily send links, you can't send videos. There's no way just a simple tagging feature, which, like you guys said, probably a lot of people end up turning off, is ever going to replace Discord.
Yeah, but like the question is, like, now with these new features in of the whole clan chat, are they trying to replace Discord or just making it more user friendly?
I mean, technically they are. I mean, ideally I feel like they want everyone to stay on the game and kind of chat with their clanmates there rather than a different application.
I can't imagine that's a massive motivation to spend a lot
of
resources and time.
I mean, yeah, I wouldn't say that's a motivation, but I'm sure it's something they might have thought
of. It'd be nice for them, yeah.
Being able to tag and direct message people is one of the main reasons that, like, side chat apps have always been a part of Clash. You know, it was Kick or Line or Band or GroupMe or, you know, and now Discord, since Discord replaced them all. Like, it's one small little thing that means you don't have to switch out of the app real quick. It's just a plain little quality of life. I don't think they have designs to completely replace Discord. It's just like one less hassle that you don't have to get out of the app.
Because ultimately, why would they try to replace Discord, right? Discord's entire business model and entire reason to exist is creating a good chat interface, you know? And Clash Clans have no reason to try match that, because at the end of the day, they would not have the resource and time to do it as effectively.
we talked about how people are going to troll with, you know, with being able to tag everyone. The other annoying troll thing that I see coming is requesting 50 of some kind of stupid troop.
Yeah, I used to have a clanmate that would request 50 archers, and he got kicked pretty recently.
But now we can fill them. As long as you're in a level 9 clan, we can now donate up to 50 individual troops.
So are you going to invite him back, Spencer?
No. Because if you're even going to request 50 archers or barbarians or goblins, you're doing it to troll, you know? There's no.
What if he wanted that CC in Legend League or something? You know, 50
archers. I have never seen.
Yeah, why would he need that in Legend League?
Back in late 2014, like mass archers out of a CC really would kind of screw up E-Drags fairly well, so I have seen it back then. I used to run it, but it was like you fill it one time and then you never have to do it again. But the change of letting us donate more than the standard limit, though, it's been a long time coming.
It'll make filling more CCs so much easier as well. I mean, yeah. It's so annoying when you had to get like multiple people to go, oh, can you please fill this, you know, 20 Archer Ice Golem CC? It's an absolute pain. Yeah. So I'm kind of
like,
glad.
I've sent so many clan mails just like, I need 3 people to cook 5 archers each, or whatever the math ends up in. But now you can just be like, cool, I'm gonna cook 600 archers and just go to town.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember the days when you had to calculate like, oh, like troop capacity, will this use the 9 limits part and whatnot? But yeah, I mean the best part is really being able to have 10 loons from one donation now.
It's nice they finally recognized that they needed to do it.
Like when I first saw the like the patch note, I was like, oh, clan perks is getting changed. I was like, oh, like does this mean there'll be new perks for levels 10 plus? But then I was disappointed. So,
and ultimately that isn't going to happen, because I think Supercell said so many times they don't really want to lock a ton of things, you know, behind clan levels, and therefore people aren't incentivized to start new clans or join clans at lower levels. So I think it'll remain that way for a long time.
Sadly, yeah.
Another feature we got was the Clan Wars sign-up, which you could only do it from the war map when you don't have a war going. So for any clan that does back-to-back wars, this won't even be used.
Kind of useless.
It seems like, yeah. But I know most clans don't do back-to-back wars, so this actually might be good to gauge kind of who's going to participate and who won't.
I don't see us using it. Is it because you got to wait for people to be online? And is it just going to sit there for 24 hours while everyone, you know, opts in or out to that chat message? No, just set your status in your profile like normal, and then we'll put you in war or not based on that. I don't see us using the sign up very much.
That was the thing I couldn't quite understand, how it was, why it's even here, because you already had the opt in, opt out. So I was a bit confused actually. What the point of the feature was?
Well, opt-in is like on by default, so
yeah, but like,
and
if you're
a lot of people don't know about it.
Okay, but you make one mistake and then it doesn't happen again, right?
Yeah, it in theory
seems like something that's aimed at clans that are less active, and just like, hey, a reminder, like, hey, let's do a war. You know, people probably aren't checking their opt-in out daily or changing it. This is not a feature aimed at us.
I mean, I think I'd actually use it if, like, it would apply for the next war as well. Like, if you're in a current war and you can still send it, that might be actually quite nice so that you can continuously update it.
Does it change your opt-in status in your profile?
I'm actually not sure.
Don't know.
Like, I knew immediately this was not for me, so I didn't really actually look at it in the dev build. Okay, there's a lot of other war changes, too. 35 and 45 size wards are back. That's nice. Yeah, there were a lot of times where it's like, ah, great, like, do we drop 2 or add 8? And now we don't really have to deal with that. So that's cool. Yeah. I'm glad that they have the data showing. Like, the reason they were removed years ago was not enough clans were spinning those higher sizes to justify having it, and matches were taking too long. So they must have data saying, like, enough clans are spinning either 40s or 50s. And yeah, it'll be cool. Like having like at least 35 will be a good size war for us.
Yeah, it's nice.
And it was removed back in 2016, which was still like prime time Clash of Clans. So I imagine if they took it out then, but they're bringing it back now, you know, the numbers must be better than they were in terms of war. And I think that really has to do with getting ore in Clan Wars.
What I would give to like have data on Clash of Clans, you know, number of users and active users and etc. I mean,
they
guard it so carefully though. They will never properly say.
Like they did release some Twitter posts sometimes about like how many, like when Clan Capital first came out, and I really love that. Seeing all those stats, like I'm totally a numbers guy. So that was cool. I wish they'd do it more.
Real quick, the other big war changes, rewards for losing and draws have been increased. So if you lose, you get 50% of the rewards. And if you draw, you get, you used to get 50% and now you get 57%. So that's cool, especially since perfect war draws are a lot more common now. I'm curious how that's going to mess with the FWA incentive, because when you lose, you got less anyway, and like a tie would only get you 50%. So the FWA already has a system where you're close to a 50% win rate. If they can ensure draws all the time, you're going to net more loot over the long run, getting 57%. So I'm curious if the FWA is going to change how they operate.
Yeah, you think, because, I mean, they're all about maximizing resources. That's the best way to do it.
I don't know. Someone who's better at math has to tell me if getting 43% of the loot 50% of the time is going to be better or worse than, you know, like, I don't know. I'm not statistically inclined enough to make that comparison. I'll have to ask Spencer or Trample or somebody. Hero equipment is now, your equipment level is taken into account for your war weight when you're matchmaking. Okay. Like, offensive war weight's never been visible anyway, but now if you have all max equipment, you're going to have a higher war weight, and we're going to get Town Hall 16s are now worth 6 starry per war hit instead of 5. Whoopee.
One extra starry?
It's like that one wall ring. It's so useful for free-to-play players.
That's 2 extra starry. If you were getting 10, now you're getting 12. You're going to lose, but whatever. 2 extra starry 15 times a month, 30 extra starry a month potentially.
Yeah, every little helps, eh?
Small little incremental changes like that are like do add up over time. So, like now that we've had, you know, like we're getting ore is applied to the 4x star bonus, we're going to get a little more ore in wars. I don't know. Like over time, it's probably going to add up to something significant. It's probably still not going to be great, but it is better.
Yeah, and the star bonus thing is really nice. I mean, that there were so many people complaining about it when, especially when the events were on with a star bonus, and I was like, oh, we don't get more ore.
Yeah.
So
would have been nice 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, would have been, but I bet they knew that. Though I do wonder, do you think they've done it now after giving everyone a massive star bonus, or they've done it now because of the feedback they got after they gave everyone the massive star bonus?
I like to think it's because of the feedback.
It's definitely due to feedback. It's just taken a long time, but that, I mean, that's just how Supercell is. But it's definitely due to community feedback for sure.
Yeah, they really do listen to community feedback. We were supposed to get another equipment this month, but they took that out of the event and put more ores in it for us.
Yeah, speaking of which, we haven't spoken about the event yet.
We'll talk about the Rocket Loon, and that can kind of close us out. But there is one big thing, though, that we haven't talked about yet in the update, and that is the haste vial. The haste vial changes?
Yes.
Is that pretty big?
Kinda. It's something that is going to confuse a lot of people, is the thing I want to get across to, because it reads like a nerf. Like, I don't... They could have explained this better in the patch notes, because it reads like a big nerf to the haste vial. Because you look like levels 9 to 18 have a lower attack speed increase. Like at max level, when you would pop the ability, you used to get an 18% boost. No, this is all the time. Like, see, it's confusing. The haste vial would give you an 18% attack speed increase over the whole attack, dropped to 16 now at max level. So it reads like a nerf. However, there was a bug with the haste vial where during the activity, you would actually lose DPS, and that's been fixed. So to counter that and make the haste vial not super OP, that's why we got a nerf to the attack speed overall through the whole attack. So haste vial,
right,
on the whole, got a buff, I believe. Oh, okay. It's hard to compare, but the haste vial got better. It reads like a nerf just to kind of counteract it from getting too much better, if that makes sense.
But wasn't it already the best equipment before, and now it still is?
I think so. Oh, yeah. It's like, it's definitely better.
It was nerfed before, and it just got normal. Yeah, it's now.
I just don't want anyone reading the patch notes and thinking it's worse. Like, a bug has been fixed. The bug is what actually kind of kept it in check. You know, they had to nerf something else. But overall, RC haste vial is still the best RC equipment, in my opinion.
Nice. Well, should we get on to the event now?
Yeah, now Rocket Loon event.
My first question is, which I haven't asked anyone yet, is why is it still ice cubes? I don't get the relevance at all.
So
you must have had a change.
Yeah, I think so I could explain it really well, actually.
Really?
So these
that
events
is really
are
fortunate.
Yeah. These events are focusing on super troops, and you boost super troops in the super sauna. And so this is a super ice bath. Do you get it now?
That is
sauna, ice bath.
Oh my god, Finland, it explains so much.
I am biting my tongue, but that is stupid. Is it even called the sauna in-game?
In-game it's not, but it is referred to as the super sauna.
I know it's referred to, but like, is it actually anywhere in-game, the word sauna?
I don't think it is. Maybe in like a dialogue box when you unlock it or something, but I don't know.
Maybe.
I mean, it's also just, it is a sauna if you look at it.
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
Too.
Were any of you particularly excited by the event?
I mean, yeah, as soon as it started, I bought a bunch of those medals in the shop.
Yeah. I was excited by all the ore in it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Rick, you did some calculations for the ore, did you?
I mean, I made an Excel sheet just to see how much I was going to get out of it and how I best wanted to spend it. I think I took away 150-ish Starry and 2,000 Glowy or something. I don't know. I'd have to find it.
Have you bought the event pass? Yeah.
Yes, every time.
I actually didn't buy this one on the last one. I've stopped. I feel like I'm kind of wasting my money if I keep buying like two passes every single month. I think I can relax a little bit.
The account that I have my event pass on, I end up buying 130 Starry, almost 1300 Glowy, and I got the 3500 shiny out of the free track. And on my free to play accounts, most of them are lower level, so they don't really need the Starry. I got just as much Glowy, 1,200 Glowy, just buying all Glowy. So, I don't know. Pretty good. Pretty good deal, I think.
Do you think we'll ever see ore in the gold pass?
No. If anything, there would be some sort of like magic item and they might put that in the pass, but I really don't see that happening.
The gold pass really kind of throws a wrench in how I assume they're looking at ore, just as a straight-up moneymaker separate from the gold pass. The ores, I think they would rather keep attached to event passes, since we are getting monthly event passes now. I don't really see them diminishing the value of the event pass by putting ore stuff in the gold pass.
Yeah.
Because they want you to buy both.
Oh, it is the diamond pass all along, isn't it?
It is. Of course it is. You know, like, we've known that. You know, like, we asked Ferry, and he said, no, we don't see it as a diamond pass, but, like, it's semantics, yeah, you know? Like we're buying $12 worth of passes a month, you know? Like, I'm sure you guys don't care if it's in one or two passes.
As long as the money's in the account, they're not concerned.
I mean, like we said from the beginning, as long as the value is there, we're fine with it.
And I think that was a huge complaint with the Clash Royale one, was that they actually nerfed their existing gold pass and basically put it into the diamond pass and charged an extra 7 quid or so on top of it. So they learned some of the right lessons, put it that way.
I saw a lot of complaints about the track on this being shorter, like less ore, but I don't know, like the medals you get, you pour back into buying more ore overall. I still think it's a good deal, free to play and buying the pass. I think it's awesome. And like the benefit too is that I'm always complaining about how I feel compelled to do these events on 9 accounts. Like I'm done with it already because it's a shorter track. I finished it. It was so much easier. And now I got all that ore and I don't have to worry about this event anymore. I get rocket loons if I want for another week. I don't know. I got zero complaints right now, which is rare for me.
Yeah, I was actually positively surprised how quickly I got it finished. I was like, oh no, I gotta always farm all day, but it got done put in one day actually.
I have to gem mine every month because I don't attack.
Oh, Spencer.
Yeah. It comes down to like the last day and I have to gem it.
And now, like when you're, because I know you buy gems every month, you're not getting the 10% bonus buying them through the store anymore. That's gone.
What 10% bonus? Oh, did they take that away?
You used to get 10% more gems when you bought them in the Super Soul store. If you bought 500 gems, you would have 550.
Oh, that's right. That's right. No, I don't. I've never bought gems from the store, no.
Oh, really? You should have been, because you got, you know, you would have had extra gems.
It's so easy in game to just...
You should know by now, Spencer is not about efficiency of spending money.
Yeah, or just efficiency in general. I mean, efficiency is just actually playing the game for 10 minutes rather than sinking about a day's worth of work into it. But, you know, each show, isn't it?
I do think we should talk briefly about the store changes because, you no longer get a 10% discount. You no longer get 10% bonus gems, but you do get free magic items. Like randomly in the middle at like midnight a couple nights ago, like all of us just got a notification that we had like free books of everything randomly, and I had to get on Slack. Like I was drinking. I was like, the hell is this? Did I imagine this? And I hopped on Slack and I was texting Cart, and like I just see everyone like, hey, I just got a free book. Did you? But yeah, you have a little punch card now that every time you buy a gold pass through the online store.
I mean, not only that, but they have really, really good special offers in the store. Right now they have 3 active, and I'll probably pick up all 3 of those
when that
update goes live.
Yeah, there's it's 10 builder potions and 10 resource potions for $3.
Okay, that is quite good.
Which is like I haven't bought magic items in a pack since Town Hall 16 release, but I that one did suck me back in. And you get points towards a different reward track. I don't know if it like counteracts not having 10% off when you buy stuff there, but it's something, you know. Like I'd have to.
Oh yeah.
Like I'm sure some other mega math nerd will do the comparison for us and post it on Reddit at some point, and I'll judge it then. Like I don't hate the change, but it does just feel like it feels cheap.
You said taking away the 10% feels cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess because they added it and then they took it away. Yeah.
And also the reason they could do the 10% was because they have to pay Google and Apple money whenever you do a transaction through there. So in theory, they are passing on the savings to you through the Supercell store, whereas now they're
pass
not
on the savings to
arguably,
you.
So
yeah, like Apple and. Like Apple and Google will take like a 30% cut of all purchases,
which
you know,
is insane
through the game like that, which is huge. You know, yeah. When you buy things from the Supercell store, they don't have to kick any of that money up. They only have to pay like the payment processor, like PayPal or whoever you use. You know, they take. Unfortunately, that is where Craig, the bot that we used to record Discord chats, stopped recording. The developer sent a message warning the bot needed to go down, but we didn't know he meant literally that second it was going down. So you all miss out on the last 15-ish minutes, but to sum it up, though, we aren't sure if the new rewards model for the store is a long-term good thing, but it is a thing. So if you are regularly making purchases in the game, it would benefit you to do so through the site. Use a creator code. If you do, creators actually get a slightly larger cut from those purchases compared to when you buy things in-app. The Angry Jelly might have another good use on the Queen that we didn't talk about earlier, helping line up giant arrow shots. Probably not too useful, and certainly with some downsides, but it's something to consider, at least in war attacks, and maybe start to play around with in FCs. We also talked about picnics and pizza lunchables. We are squarely on the pro side of those pressing and clash-relevant issues. We took a look at Liam's international halfway house of a clan family and all the interesting characters he seems to attract. We'll have to revisit that one because I do think it's important context for a lot of the stories we're going to hear from him. The full patch notes are in the show notes because there are just a million things in there we didn't cover. I started making chapters as well if you care to skip around the podcast like some kind of Neanderthal. Luckily enough, all of our shoutouts were directed at people still in the live audience, so they were all fortunate enough to hear them personally. But the one I'll repeat now is go listen to the second most recent episode of Clash Tours, the Clash Academy Awards. It's a real special episode that CNote put on. Tons of fun. Easily one of my favorite episodes of any Clash podcast. Lots of laughs. Go listen to it. I will link it down below as well. Really hope you all enjoy the update. Spencer and I have had a blast playing it the last few weeks. Really excited to see what you all think. Let us know. And we will catch you in 2 weeks after the streak event, whatever that ends up being. Thanks for listening.